All right, turn with me today to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. How many of you were here on the 2nd of January? Were you here on the 2nd of January? We talked about for this new year that God, in Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says that in verse 3, it says that this man is going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that he will bring forth his fruit in his season, and whatever he does will prosper. And I believe that God has that picture, he has that outcome, he has that goal for you and for me, for our church, for your business, for your family, for 2011. But if we look at how that takes place, it's preceded by two things. And in verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. So he doesn't associate with ungodly people. And then secondly, but in God's law, he meditates day and night. That his law is his delight. And one of the things about meditation that we see from the Old Testament is meditation is the words that we mutter. It's the words that come out of our heart that we say. And God has much to say about the words that you and I say and the effect that it has in our life and that it has in the lives of those around us. So I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 18, and we're going to take some time really to look at this concept, but not just to know it, but to put it into practice in our life. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. So we're going to talk about for a number of weeks the power of the tongue. And not just of the tongue universal, but of your tongue. Tell your neighbor, my tongue has power. Now, when we approach this subject, there may be a certain group of people, and maybe kind of like me, is that we think, well, you know, I know about this. Thank you, Pastor Walker. This is good. Thank you. But the Word of God is not so much what you know, it's what you do. And how many of you know that there is a difference between what you know and what you apply? Right? And I have been challenged by God in my own life that I need to apply this truth in my life and in my mouth more than ever before. And so the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So that means that our tongue has power. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't really matter whether you believe that or not. It's true. Now, it's a matter of whether you come in line with that and use that power rightly. The Bible says, those who love it will eat of its fruit. All right? And right now, today, there are things in your life that you are experiencing and that you have today because of the words that you've spoken yesterday. Your world is being affected by your mouth. All right? God wants to unleash the power that he put in your mouth for your future, for his intended outcome for your life. Because notice it says death and life are in the power of your tongue. So it's not just life, but your tongue also has the potential for death. Now he wants you to avoid the harm. He wants you to avoid the destruction. And he wants your tongue to be a wellspring of life. Amen? Of life. Now, look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says, from the produce of your lips. All right? Another translation says, from the fruit of your mouth. How many of you right now at home or somewhere, you've got a garden growing? Are you picking some stuff? All right? Things are growing wonderfully right now, aren't they? And you know that it doesn't happen automatically. You had to get a packet that had a picture of a tomato, because the seed doesn't look like a tomato, right? If you put the seeds on the countertop, you don't know which is which. But you see the seed and you see the outcome that you want, and you start planting those seeds in the right soil, and what happens? There is fruit. In Mark chapter 4, God says that our heart is soil. And God's word wants to go into our heart and produce something 30, 60, and 100-fold. God's word wants to return back to him, and it wants to accomplish that which he sent it to do in your life. So in a garden has to be cultivated, but seeds have to be planted. Now, what we know about a seed is, it is something that we plant today, and it has an effect tomorrow. I know in school, and I think even when I was a kid in Sunday school, we've done it here at this church, where we've given children a packet or a cup of dirt. And in Sunday school, they've planted that seed, and we've told them, keep it near sunlight, water it, and a few days later, a few weeks later, what? Something begins to grow. Something begins to happen. That which is small gets big. Now, when we were driving to Zimbabwe, then to South Africa and through Botswana, we saw lots of baobab trees. I mean, big baobab trees. We were in Botswana. There was another Moana tree that was 900 years old. Think about what it's seen. All right? And all of what it's lived through. 900 years old. And it is massive. It is huge. Now, how many of you know when it started, it was small? It was a seed just like any other seed. And so we're going to look at those verses in James that we saw. But our words, even though they look small, and you may think, well, they're not significant, God's word is going to be clear to us today. There is power in your tongue. And those words have the power of life or of death. Now, the harvest, here's the great thing, and here's the scary thing. The harvest of our mouth is up to us. It's not up to your pastor. It's not up to your spouse. It's not up to your prayer partner. It's not up to the TV preacher. It's up to you. You and only you are responsible for what comes out of your mouth. But see, at the same time where we look and we say, well, you know, I'd like to blame it on someone else. The thing about God's word, and when we understand it is also personally empowering. God has given us the power to change our life. God has given us the power to change your future. If you're not happy with today's harvest, start planning different things for tomorrow. Amen? And we can do that, and we will do this. Now, this power, as we saw, is not just for the good. And isn't it interesting that when the way that God created the world, so much of what he created, it's up to mankind how we determine whether what he created is used for good or for bad. How many of you know God created electricity? We discovered ways to use it, all right? Benjamin Franklin didn't invent electricity. He found out a way to use it, and people all throughout the ages. And so we have sound today, because we have stored up energy, and then we figured out how to use it and how to power certain things. Wind. How many of God made the wind? The wind can be a wonderful thing. And in parts of the world now, I've seen, I was in California, a whole hillside of windmills creating power. How many of you know, how many of you have had the enjoyment of eating food on fire? Wood, charcoal, right? It's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, I tell you, I had some pork chops in Botswana cooked on the fire. Bless God. Hallelujah. Fire is good, isn't it? What about water? We wash, we cook, we drink it. All right, you have to have water to stay alive. But see, all of these things, the electricity that powers this building and these speakers and these lights, that same electricity, when you come in contact with it in the wrong way, you are not around here anymore. I had a friend in South Africa who worked for Eskom, their Zesco. And he worked in some of the big plants and everything. And he said there was a guy, he didn't know him, but when this guy literally came and he was at one of these power plants and something went wrong and the red wire touched the black wire and the guy literally was gone. Completely. There was no trace of him. Burnt to nothing. Now, is electricity bad? We should stay away from electricity? No, you've got to come in contact with it right. You know, water is wonderful, but there were people in our city a number of months ago who were destroyed and their homes were destroyed because water got in the wrong way. How many of you have seen some of the scenes from Queensland in Australia? Floods and people on top of their roofs and it looks like Katrina. Water is good if you use it the right way. Fire is wonderful, but it can burn down your house. And the same thing that God created with your life, the words that you say, there is life and there is death in the power of your tongue, because there is great power. And so what that means is that when we come in contact with fire, what are we? We're careful, aren't we? Now, you see, as a little kid, and I don't know what is it about boys, but boys, at least I did and my buddies, we just like to burn stuff. You get hold of matches and fireworks and firecrackers. And so I got in trouble, thankfully, because I used fire in the wrong way. I had a firecracker go off in my hand one time. I thought, I'm going to open up my hand. I'm going to open up my eyes and my hand is going to be gone. But thank God it was just a little one. And I had a very painful lesson as a kid, and so now as an adult, I don't do that anymore because it could blow off your hand. And so if something is powerful but also can cause destruction, that means you're careful when you use it, right? And so with electricity, I would encourage you, they're not very expensive, but you can go to stores and you can get this at the end of wires. You can put this a three-prong plug instead of two wires for your TV. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, this is the year I buy plugs. They're really not that expensive. Okay. They work wonders. All right. But both you and I know that if you're going to put the two wires and you're going to open it up, you use wood, right? You don't use your knife. You don't use metal. Because what? When it comes to electricity, you're careful. Because you want your TV to work, but in the process, you don't want to kill yourself. You don't want a shock. So you're careful when you are around something that's powerful. And I hope today and in the weeks to come, I hope that you are more careful with your mouth. Because you are playing with fire. And you can unleash it in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of others, for wonderful purposes, or it can burn you. And some of you, I love you, but your life is charred. There are burn marks on you from your words. The words that have come out of your mouth, and there are people around you whose hair is singeing. And there are smoke coming out of their ears because of the words that you've unleashed. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Turn with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And let's just go ahead and read this entire passage. So Proverbs, and we'll see many, many other places in the Word of God, shows us this power, and it talks about this power. And then James refers to it as well. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we may turn. Everybody say turn. We may turn their whole body. Indeed, we also look at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned. Everybody say turned. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. All right? New Living Translation says that the tongue can turn the entire course of your life. The tongue can turn the entire course of your life. So if your life isn't going the right direction, turn it. Turn it. Amen. And isn't it and here's the wonderful thing is, you have control of your tongue. Amen. Demons don't control your tongue. Here's the other thing, the Holy Ghost doesn't control your tongue. One of the things when it comes to people being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says that they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. That is, as the Holy Spirit gave them the words, they began to speak. So how many of you know the Bible doesn't teach that the Holy Spirit just comes and makes you speak in tongues? Or make you say, my God will supply my needs. Kind of be nice if he did, but he doesn't. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We yield to whatever we are going to yield to. So it can turn the direction. So we can change by turning the rudder of our life. Now, this power that is in our tongue has the power to change our life, and it has the power to change things around our life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11, all right? And I want to show you, this is not only an example, but it is also a teaching by the Lord Jesus about this incredible principle of our life. Now, many of us are familiar, and we'll start here with this verse. But then I want us to kind of back up and see, why did Jesus say this? All right. Mark 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So Mark 11:23 talks about our words of faith. Mark 11:24 talks about the prayer of faith, that when we pray, we believe, we receive. When we pray, and we will have those things that we've asked from God. But in verse 23, it talks about the words that we say. Now, was Jesus just giving a nice lesson? Or was there a background and was there a reason for this? Now, in the same chapter, just kind of look up and let's go back to a couple of verses. All right? Now, let's look at verse 12. Mark 11 and verse 12. Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it. Jesus said to what? It. Jesus is talking to a tree. Question, is Jesus crazy? No. Is Jesus weird? No, Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? And who is our pattern of life? Who do we pattern our life after? Jesus, right? Jesus said, you'll do my works. The works that I do, you will do also in even greater works, right? So Jesus is our model. So Jesus was talking to a tree. Tell your neighbor, that's not weird. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Okay, so Jesus said it loud enough for the people that he was with to know what he was saying. All right, so Jesus goes to Jerusalem with his disciples. That's the time where Jesus cleanses the temple of the money changers. All right, and now they're going back by this tree. Verse 20, Mark 11, verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Tell your neighbor, something changed. Right? So it didn't used to be that way, and now there was a drastic change, and Jesus had said something. Now look at verse 21. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look! Do you think Jesus saw? He did. Don't you love Peter? Isn't he awesome? Jesus, look at this! This is awesome! The tree, the fig tree that you cursed, has withered away! What does he say? He said, Jesus, you are the man. I am impressed. I've never said, Jesus, look at this. I heard you say it, and now look, something has changed. Now, here's the important part. Now, isn't that really cool, right? Jesus spoke to a tree, and a tree, a living thing, changed based on what he said. Now, what is so vital is what Jesus said and what Jesus didn't say. All right? Let's look at what Jesus didn't say. So this is not what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, yeah, when you're the Son of God, you can do cool things like that. I just pulled out my Son of God X-ray guns and yeah, wouldn't it be cool to be me? I'd use my special Son of God power. I remember one movie where I can't remember what it was. I think the world was coming to an end, and these guys were coming, and they were going to get a little boy and a little girl and take them to another planet so the world could remain. And this guy, as the hero was approaching him, he opened up his mouth and like light came out of his mouth. And the hero flew back, you know. Is that what Jesus did? You know, he said to the tree, rah, 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 wow, look at Jesus, man, I wish I could do that. No, that is not what he said. What did he say? Have faith in God. The implied subject is you have faith in God. And in verse 23, he says, for assuredly I say to you. Tell your neighbor, you. I mean, really, tell your neighbor, you. Whoever says to this mountain. Now, whoever is a great word. Do you know why? It's because I get to be in whoever. You get to be in that word called whoever. Whoever. Notice it doesn't say Christians. It says whoever. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done. He, who's the he? The one doing the talking, right? He will have whatever he says. Another way of what Jesus is saying to Peter and to the disciples is, guys, you can do what I just did. Do you see that? He takes it out of the realm of just Jesus only, but he says, whatever you say, to the mountain. See, here's the thing. How many of you have mountains in your life? Big stuff. Stuff that doesn't want to move. Right? Your mountain needs to hear your voice. Your voice. Whatever you say to your mountain. Now, I'm your pastor and I have a role in your life. All right? But I'm not the one to speak to your mountain. Tell your neighbor, that's my job. It's not to get somebody to fix it for you. And so much of, and unfortunately, it's been in the church world for a long, long time. And I love being a charismatic, and I will always be a charismatic, believing in the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the things that we tend to do in our world is that if I can get to the man of God or the woman of God, then they'll get my answer for me. And so unfortunately, sometimes what we men of God try to do is we try to give you that impression that we've got all of our act together. I can assure you I don't. All right? Thank you for your refrain in saying amen. But what I can do is point you to the person who has the answers. I can share with you principles from God's word that are true and that will work in your life if you put them to practice. So Jesus said, no, whatever you say, you can trust God and you can unleash the power of your tongue for life against your mountain. Now, do you remember there was a time where Jesus and his disciples, they got into a boat and they said, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. So Jesus had proclaimed something, right? We have the word of God on the subject. We're going to the other side. And on the way to the other side, a storm, a great storm arose. Has that ever happened to you? Going to the other side, going to God's destination, a storm arises. And so, remember, the disciples were fearful and they were afraid, and Jesus was asleep. Isn't that interesting? Jesus sleeps during a storm. And so they awoke him and they said, Master, don't you care? Don't ever accuse God of not caring. And Jesus said, peace, be still. And then he says, where's your faith? What do you mean, where's my faith? They had to wake up Jesus for him to rebuke the storm. What was he saying? Guys, you could have rebuked the storm yourself and I could have kept sleeping. Because the same power that Jesus had in his mouth, they had in their mouth. Amen? So Jesus wants to take this out of the realm of just the superpower guy or the mega apostle. Huh? Just speak over my life, Pastor. Well, I'll be happy to. But the thing is, what are you going to speak over your life when I'm done speaking over your life? What are you going to say to your mountain? Because Mark 11:23 doesn't say whatever the things that you say in church will come to pass. I wish it was only the stuff in church. What is going to be the response of what you say? And notice Jesus said, look at this again, Mark 11:23. Those things that he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. Notice it's not what God says, it's what you say. Now, the deal is to get what we say to align with what God says. Amen? That we get in agreement with him. Now, knowing this, you and I have a choice in our life. Proverbs 18:21, life and death and the power of the tongue. From the Message Bible, it puts it this way. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit you choose. You choose. Poison or fruit. Now, we're all intelligent people here, right? Right? Pastor, you're saying to me, Pastor, speak for yourself. You don't know who I'm sitting next to, all right? But we're all, so the choice between poison or fruit, I mean, that's easy, right? That's not much of a choice. Of course, I'm going to choose fruit. But the thing about it is, what do you choose in the heat of the moment? Now, we just declared over our finances, right? My God will supply, right? Isn't that what God's word says? What do you say when you lose the contract and then the rates go up? What do you say when it doesn't look good? When you have something in your heart and the bids come back and they're more than you thought? What do you say? Poison or? What do we say? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, God, I don't know. Where is it going to come from? Is that what God said? What are we speaking over the situation? Isaiah 54 says, and it is a promise for all of you that have children, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace, the prosperity, the undisturbed composure of your children. That's what God says about your children. Amen? So you've got a teenager and you find out they were smoking cigarettes. We had this Flame concert. You find out they're listening to Jay-Z instead of Flame. What are you going to say? Oh, you're just like your father. You're like your brother. What are you doing? You are taking poison. You're putting it on your kids. Anybody ever heard this phrase? Africa shall be saved. Right? And then we had a wonderful man of God in our own nation. He said, Zambia shall be saved. Amen? I like that. What did you say on Friday afternoon? Friday evening? You saw the news about Mongu? What came out of your mouth? What came out of your mouth? Faith is not reporting the facts. Now, it's okay to, we need the facts, okay? Thank God for the facts, all right? And newspapers are not to be rebuked, all right? We need the facts. But what is our response to the facts? Amen. Fruit or poison? You choose. Amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What will we say? You remember in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the earth was without form, it was void, and there was darkness over the face of the deep. That's Genesis 1:2. Then God steps into the situation in verse Genesis 1:3. And what did God say? Wow, sure is dark. I call it like I see it. And God said, let there be light. God spoke into the darkness. Now, here's the thing about what we refer to the sovereignty of God. That is, God makes up the rules. Okay, so when God created the earth, there wasn't a committee. God could have clapped the earth into existence. He could have thought the earth into it. He could have done it in any way he wanted to do. But what did he do? God said, God spoke. I think for our benefit, so that when we have darkness, we'll step out into the darkness and we will say, let there be light. We will speak what is not there at the time. Now, Romans chapter 8, there's some incredible, incredible truths from verse 26 to 30. All right? The Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit have been building a case of who we are in Christ and what God has done for us. And He's made us righteous. He's made us His Son. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And there's all these things that are now working and these truths that have been brought out. And the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us to pray that God works together good in our life, that He called us, He chose us. He gave us a destination to be conformed to the image of His Son, and that He called us to come to Him to be justified and to be glorified by Him. How many of you know that's a lot of good stuff? Look at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? So God has done all these wonderful things for us. What shall we say? New Living Translation says, what can we say about such wonderful things as these? And you know what? When you see in the Bible what happens to people, you remember Elijah had the showdown with the prophets of Baal, and God came and He answered by fire, and all of their stuff was eaten up, and God answered and proved Himself faithful. In a few verses, Elijah is saying, I'm the only one. This Jezebel lady's trying to kill you. When she's killing people, she's going to kill me. Ah. Right? In just a few verses. And I've never seen supernatural fire come out of heaven. Have you? God bless you if you have. But this guy saw some stuff. But just a few verses later, he said the wrong thing. Remember, God told Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock and water will come out. Moses was so frustrated as a leader and so frustrated with people, he didn't speak to the rock. He just whacked the rock. He got in trouble for it, didn't he? God has answers, and there's fruit that will come for our life that will come out of our mouth. Now turn over to Psalm. So we saw Psalm chapter 2, but no, go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. What shall we say to these things? Now, thank God for the response that the Holy Spirit brought out. If God is for us, who can be against us? We've got to allow our response to be what God says. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then, everybody say then. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate, to mutter things that are coming out of our mouth. In 2011, in the situations that you're facing, in the challenges. And see, and here's the thing. God calls us to be in a situation many, many times that is not right. To bring His order and to bring His rightness into the situation. Right? So God is going to allow you to be placed in places, and for your leadership and for your godliness and for your righteousness to work in a situation that's not 100% okay. All right? So when you get there, what are you going to say? When you see things that are not okay, what are you going to say? Are you going to give voice to doubt? Are you going to give voice to what you see? What did Thomas say? I'll believe it when I see it. Or do you say what you believe before you get there? God says about your life, We've got a verse in 1 Peter 2:24 that God says, by his stripes you are healed. Amen? So if God says you are, then you are. And to align your mouth with what he says. God says he will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. The Bible says that he cares for you more than a bird. And that if you have need of clothes, of shelter, of food, if you have those needs, how much more will your Heavenly Father care for you? And so if you are seeing lack, what should come out of your mouth is, I don't see any skinny birds around here. Those crows that come into your yard, they're fat, aren't they? If God has taken care of the birds, I'm more important than a bird. And my God supplies for me because he cares for me. Amen? And maybe you're in a situation where, well, let me just ask you, how many of you are facing a situation in life, maybe at work, maybe in a relationship, and to be honest, right now, you don't know what to do? Anybody? You right now you're thinking, is it left? Is it right? Which door do I go through? What do I do? So you can give voice to, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Or you can say what the Bible says, Jesus Christ has been made unto me wisdom. Wisdom. I have the mind of Christ. I have wisdom. Now, I don't have it this second, but I'm going to say what God says, I'm going to plant a seed for my future to change my future today. Amen? Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, this is simple. This is weird. No, let's look at one more verse. All right? One more verse. People are not born again solely on what they believe. It is not only on what they believe. In Romans chapter 10, look at this with me. Verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So believing in your heart alone for salvation is not enough. Do you see this? And we'll see in the weeks to come. The relationship between your heart and your mouth. And I want to encourage you today. And I want you to take up God on his offer. And I want you to put the poison away. Maybe poison in your family. Maybe poison about your future. Put the poison away and get out the fruit. Get out the life. Get out the words of God. And begin to speak them into your life and into your future. And watch your garden grow. Watch 2011 be the year that you wanted it to be. Amen. Turn the rudder of your life by changing the direction of your mouth. And let me just close. And I know, you know, we can talk about sermons, and I hope you wrote some scriptures down, and I hope you've been inspired today. But today is not about right now. It's not about right now. It's about what you do after right now. I remember I was with a brother a number of years ago in the Lord, and he loved the Lord and raised his kids in the Lord, and he was facing a lot of financial troubles. He was facing where he couldn't get a job, and so I was encouraging him. I had coffee with him. I said, the Lord says this, and the Lord says this, and he said, yeah, but I'm overqualified. You know, I'm just, that's usually not a problem, right? But it was a problem for him. You know, I'm just overqualified. And I said, yeah, but the Lord says this, and the Lord says this, and the Lord says this. Yeah, but they just don't hire people like me. I gave him a book. Read this book. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Everything that came out of his mouth was about what God was not going to do. or about why he was an exception. Because I would share what God says, and he would say, yeah, but. You know, here's the reason why the word of God doesn't apply to me. How many of you know that's not a real wise decision? I wish I had a happy ending for you today. But you know what? This same brother 6 years later is still having job problems. Is still not finding work. And it is still the same stuff that's coming out of his mouth. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I just don't know. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. A man will eat the fruit of his lips. And if you don't like what's on your plate, order something different for 2011. Amen? Amen? Now listen. And I want, and this is very, very important. And I know, you know, we're at Miracle Life, we're just 2,500 people, all right, in a nation of 11 million. But I've been talking to some of the leading pastors in our city, in our nation, Reverend Pakuta Monza, and we are very stirred up. And I've been stirred up all of last year about our nation and for elections. You have to decide what you are going to say about Zambia for 2011. Well, blah, 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 and I know, and blah, blah. What about, where's the rudder going? Amen? You pray and you say, God, help us, Lord, we're looking to you. And after amen, you undo what you prayed about. Your mouth goes an entirely different direction. You get the newspaper, read the news. Oh, I can't believe it. It is possible. Even here in this sermon today. Some of you may go into the parking lot. Did you hear about Mungu? And I'll tell you what. I had a friend that was there. I tell you. And you just start sprinkling poison over everybody. I don't know. I don't know. I know what God says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord's. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. We're blessed. Oh, I tell you, there are many, many godly people in Mungu. We've had six different conferences there. Wonderful pastors. The Western province is blessed. Now, just think about this. Do you think God has a solution? Or do you think God is up in heaven going, I don't, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. Let me give me that agreement from 1964. What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. God's not doing that. God has wisdom. God has answers. And God gets answers from heaven and he brings them to the earth. For people who are listening. Amen. And so when we pray and we speak, God moves. Amen. And we are going to turn the rudder of our life, of our families, of this church, and of this nation based on what God says. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Praise team, just come. Just come right now. Now, I want you to practice. All right? I want you to practice right now. I want you to think about a situation in your life that it needs changing. All right? You know what God says. You know how it's supposed to work out. All right? But it doesn't look like that today. It looks like something else. All right? And I want, again, if you're with a family member here or there's somebody beside you that you know, I want you to grab them by the hand. And I want you to begin to speak. We're not going to pray. We're going to speak God's word into that darkness, into that cloudy situation, into that area that doesn't look right today, but you're going to speak what God says. Ready? Now here's the thing. I'm not going to lead you in anything. You get to decide. Go ahead, put away the poison, get out the fruit, and start sprinkling the word of God, planting the seeds of your destiny. All right? Go ahead right now. Just go ahead and speak. Speak the word of God into your situation right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just go ahead, raise up your voice. Raise up your voice. I don't think David whispered at Goliath. He said it loud enough so he could hear it. Amen. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the giant that's in your life right now. Speak back. Say what God says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, I just wanted you to practice, but you take this home. You take this into your, where you pray. You take this with your Bible. You take this with your notebook. Begin to write out scriptures for what God says. Now, one of the songs that we sang today, and I want to sing it again, is just that. It is a profession. It is a confession of our faith. And that is, how great is our God? And now maybe an hour ago you didn't sing it like you meant it. But right now I want you to sing it as if God is great. Bigger than your situation. Bigger than any demon that may be attacking you. And let's declare, great is our God. Not just the God of the universe. My God. Miracle Life's God. Amen. Let's sing that song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Let's declare it, declare it. How great is our God?
The name might be a certain habit or a sin. But just right now, picture that name. Whatever it is, see that in your mind. But right now, put the name of Jesus above that name. Above that name. For there is a name that is above every name under heaven and on the earth and things under the earth. And at that name, everything bows its knee to the name of Jesus. And see that name of Jesus and sing that song with us one more time. There is a name above all names, the name of Jesus, the great God. you do not know Jesus, there is only one name under heaven whereby man must be saved. It's not the name of a church. It's not the name of a movement. It's not the name of a person. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only one who took your sin, the only one who trades his life for yours. And today you can leave your life of sin and become the righteousness of God. But friend, it will not come from going to church. It will not come through a series of things that you do. It will come when you trust in your heart and confess with your mouth that he is your Lord and your Savior. And if you've never done that, if you've never received that life, today is your day. Or if you're here today and you're a backslidden Christian, your life is in rebellion. Friend, today is the time to come home. There's a Jesus who loves you. And there's a Jesus who's waiting for you. And if that's you right now and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I need to come home to a God who loves me. Right now, wherever you are, it's time to say yes. Go ahead and lift up your hand. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I need to be born again. I need a new direction in life. I need to leave my life of sin. I need to trust Jesus with all my heart and be born again. Anyone at all, if you're here today, lift it up. I don't want to miss anybody. If you're here, lift it up real high so we can see it. God bless you, ma'am. Yes, anyone else? Say, that's me. I'm ready to turn and go towards Jesus. Thank you over here. Yes. Anybody else? Well, let's make a decision. Let's act on what we are believing right now. I want you to come right now. Grab your handbag, your Bible, whatever you brought with you to church, and come and meet me up front. Just come and meet me up front right now. Just step out. And really, this is a sign of saying, you know, I'm leaving my old life and I'm stepping into a brand new life with Jesus Christ. Just step out right now and receive new life, forgiveness. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And we want to do exactly what we just saw in the Bible now. We want to believe something in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Are you ready to do that? Just go ahead and close your eyes and let's just lift up one of our hands towards heaven and say this with me. Say, Father, I believe Jesus is your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. Jesus, come and live in me. And I thank you now that I am a part of the family of God. I am born again. I am a brand new person. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We want to put a book into your hand. We want to pray with you individually. If you would just turn and follow us, we're going to go to a place of prayer right now. If you would just allow us a few minutes of your time. Just right now. Thank you so very much.